Rilo Kiley's new album is aptly titled Under the Blacklight. Band masterminds Jenny Lewis and Blake Sennett have crafted an album that sounds like the sleazy side of Southern California sexuality that's discussed in the songs. The Cafe's Michaela Majune begins the interview by asking Blake about the video for the song The Moneymaker that actually features real porn performers.
We held a casting, an open call for a porn audition, and various hopefuls came down, and I had the dubious honor of playing the director and interviewing them, and we sort of just interviewed them about their lives and tried to make it seem like a real audition, and then...
Were they naked or clothed?
Well, they were clothed, but we had hidden cameras all over, and the first girl left the audition and revealed to the other waiting hopefuls that she was very disappointed because she said, well, they didn't even ask me to take my clothes off. I definitely didn't get the part. And she was crestfallen. So so we asked people to take some of their clothes off, but not much, you know. It seemed creepy, you know. I mean, as much as we were trying to make it look like a porn audition, we're not really porn filmmakers. And I don't know, if I want to see naked people, I'll do that in the privacy of my own home on the internet. actually having to look people in the eyes and do that is terrifying. And then when the audition was over, we revealed to them that it was for a music video, and they were shockingly pleased. And then we hired three of them. I think we intended to hire two, but we hired three to be in our video. So we've got Faye Runaway, Haley Young, and Tommy Gunn, who Lewis became very close with on the set.
I guess
not exactly true, but he's an experienced man in that particular industry and has participated in over 450 films in only a couple of years working in the business.
That's a lot of boning, sister. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Now, why did you do it? Why did you do this?
Well, it seemed like the song has a lot of, you know, sexual metaphors in it. And metaphors about the sex industry and selling yourself for a little less than you were hoping.
Sure, and the working in the music industry as well. I think some of the themes extend to that. So we just wanted to create this kind of extreme version of the idea in the song. And it was a terrifying experience at times. Very educational.
Terrifying in what sense, Jenny?
I guess just in speaking with people about their motives, you know, and why they decided to get into the industry, and they were really open with us, and
we kind of presented it to the, you know, actors or what have you in the audition, like, hey, we want to hear a little bit about your life because we want to cast people in the right roles and whatever, and we knew that was footage that we were going to maybe use in the video, so. I guess you run the risk of being exploitive or you know, feeling like, I don't know, some kind of taxi cab confession situation or something. And I guess, you know, these people were really open about their lives and we didn't want to, like, use anything the wrong way or make anyone feel like they had been, you know, fooled or, you know.
Yeah, our last intention was to be judgmental at all in any way. Yeah,
so we got their permission to use whatever you did use.
Oh, yeah, of course. And every single person agreed to be a part of the video.
Yeah, and people seemed happy enough about it.
But it's interesting because it's one thing to imagine these scenarios as a writer or a songwriter, and it's another thing to be faced with them in the same room.
Yeah.
Different intention.
Well, without benefit of any porn actors or anyone else, to illustrate this, could we hear The Moneymaker?
Sure.
Sure.
Out of here, you get out.
show her your money, make she says, ow, ow, ow. Hell yeah, she says, ow, ow, ow. Yeah, you get out, out, out of there. You get out, out, out of there. And it's in my head.
Rilo Kiley are with us today on the World Cafe. You do have the perfect pop voice. Do you think so?
I think my voice is pretty poppy, yeah.
You too.
I wouldn't say perfect.
I meant
yeah.
Duke. No, I meant Jenny.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Definitely meant as a compliment.
No, I do. It's funny. The more I record, the more I realize that I sometimes tend to sing songs in particular characters, and I'm still kind of going through the process of learning, you know, how my voice sounds and what, like, the natural tone of my voice is, and if that is, in fact, in, like, a pop context or a more folk context. It's been this kind of ever-evolving thing.
I think some of the, like, artists I love, though, you know, have, like, three or four different characters. I mean, look at Bowie, you know, he sounds so different song to song, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that you...
I think I'm still figuring it out exactly how to sing. If you listen to our early records, I sound like a little child. And well, I'm learning how to sing out a little bit more, and I'm feeling a little more comfortable in the studio.
But that figuring, that whole figuring process is great, objectively, to a listener, to myself included. So
thanks, Duke.
Maybe you'll always be experimenting, you know, a little, which is healthy and rad, I think.
It's interesting to hear you say that because you sound so confident on the record, on this new record.
I think that this process, just vocally, I learned the most on this record than I ever have in the past. But I think if you were to come and see us play these songs live, they sound even more confident, in a sense. So again, it's just this ongoing process of discovery.
Your speaking voice is very different from your singing voice.
Really?
Yeah. Do you smoke?
No.
Good.
I used to. I quit. I quit when I was 27 years old.
Good.
Do you smoke?
Not anymore. I quit a long time ago. Yeah.
Sometimes I think about cigarettes, though.
Really? I never do.
Yeah. Except recently, especially.
Does it bother you when people smoke around you? I hate that.
It does. It really does.
I think reformed smokers are the worst. We're much worse than people who've never smoked.
You're absolutely right. I think being an ex-smoker, I'm much more inclined to judge a smoker than a non-ex-smoker.
The second track on the CD, Money, Close Call, talks about someone who gets money for sex.
Yeah, that Close Call is actually, it started out as kind of a short story that I wrote about a woman who lives near the Brighton Pier in England. And I just wrote pages and pages and then kind of condensed it into this kind of pop song format.
Why did you choose Brighton?
We actually played a show there, and I spent the day on the pier imagining the characters that might live near there.
And you have a rich imagination. You're going to do a version of it that's stripped down for us, different from the one on the CD.
Yeah, an acoustic version. One, two, three, four.
Gypsy mother in a bucket of tears. Her good looks could have sailed a ship, but her will alone could have sunk it. Funny thing about money for sex, you might get rich, but you'll die by it. Gonna be a close call. Gonna be a close call. Tell me now, what would you do hanging back with the brutes? Hustle and pickpocket, that's no way to get rich. 'Cause gonna be a close call. Gonna be a close call. Gonna be a close call. Gonna be a close call.
That was Close Call, Rilo Kiley, our guest. Their new CD is Under the Black Light. Blake and Jenny, I'm sure you're sick of people asking you about being child actors, but it's part of our job to ask you about that because it's so interesting. You were on TV shows at what age?
I want to say I did my thing at like 10 or something, my first like Highway to Heaven or whatever. I was on Highway to Heaven with... on the episode where Dick Van Dyke was on it.
Wow.
And he, I was like the little cancer boy. I played cancer boy. And Dick Van Dyke had to come, like, help me out. And, like, he took my cancer and then he went to heaven. And I had to, like, wear white face makeup and drink Sprite the whole show. But then at the end, I run out because I don't have cancer anymore. You know, Dick Van Dyke took my cancer in the show. I'm not going to lie to you. It was pretty sweet meeting Dick Van Dyke.
I bet. And did you have any understanding of the significance of what it was you were acting out?
Not really. I like Sprite, you know. I mean, it's pretty good. And I like Mary Poppins a lot. So between the two of those things, you know what I mean? Like, I had no real complaints.
Did you two know each other as actors?
No, we did not.
Jenny, what was your experience like?
I was 3 years old when I first started working, mostly in commercials. And so all of my memories have something to do with, you know, growing up on a movie set. And I worked from 3 to about 19 when I started feeling a little uncomfortable, and I kind of realized that it really wasn't my choice. I kind of ended up doing something for reasons that didn't belong to me. So Blake and I happened to meet right before that time, and we started playing music together. And instantly it just felt really comfortable, and it felt right. And both of my parents are musicians, so I feel like that was always a part of my experience growing up. And I think our relationship just kind of facilitated this kind of bold move to leave all of that behind.
What kind of music do your parents play?
They play mostly covers.
Harmonica, jazz.
My father is a harmonica player, a great one, and my mom was a singer and played bass in their band called Love's Way, and they played the lounges in Las Vegas in the 70s.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
So they were done doing that by the time you came along.
Yeah, the marriage broke up, and then the band broke up, sadly.
Oh, whoops, somebody fell off their chair.
No, sorry.
Take it easy, you guys. Do you think that your acting experience made it easy for you to perform on stage as a musician? Easier?
Perhaps. Perhaps. I guess I have this ability to kind of zone out a little bit and forget about the crowd. And I think I probably learned that as a child, having to kind of forget about the people working on the set and my mom, who was oftentimes behind the camera, kind of directing me with hand signals, which was really annoying.
Was she a stage mom?
She was an unconventional stage mother, but yes. And then at a certain point, I just said, Mom, it's really distracting when you're back there, you know, gesturing for me to, you know, cry out a little bit more. You can only imagine the hand signals. And then she was cool with it. And she's like, all right, I'll wait in the dressing room.
Didn't the directors mind that she was directing you?
Yeah, but when you're, you know, I think the parents typically have to be on the set, so the directors tend to tolerate that kind of behavior.
Getting back to Rilo Kiley, what's the best thing that could happen out of the band?
Maybe if we all sort of were like on tour and all bought lottery tickets the same day and all won and got to like win the lottery.
And the serious answer?
Anyone?
If they were all in different states, so they didn't split that single number.
That's the serious version.
Maybe we'll
That's
come.
The real money.
It's the straight dirt, sister.
So you're in it for the money.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Are you?
No.
No. I don't know. I mean, it's already happening, you know? I mean, you know, we get to make music for a living. We get to, you know, we set out to on this great experiment. Like, can we... I mean, I remember when me and Jenny were first talking about starting a band or, you know, our big dream was like to be able to play gigs around town and have people show up, you know, and by people, I think I'm saying like 60 people would have been
our friends.
Yeah, would have been a real coup. So, I mean, after that, it's been pretty sweet, you know, we get to do this and... people pay us and stuff. And that's pretty awesome. It's pretty weird.
And if you really consider our past, you know, I mean, who the heck gave us a pass to, like, make rock music for, you know, we were child actors. Everyone hates grown-up child actors.
Yeah, we're supposed to be on a reality show right now.
I mean, it's incredible that we were able to do it how we did it and, you know, make records that we're proud of. And I think being in the band has really allowed us all to grow individually, you know, and we've all discovered things about ourselves personally and musically that we wouldn't have been able to discover without Rilo Kiley.
Well, let's finish up with a song. Which one do you want to play?
This one's called Dream World.
That's Rilo Kiley with Dream World, another song that's on their new CD, Under the Black Light. You seem to all get along so famously and have such a great time. When you're
We're actors, remember?
That's right. When you're not talking about music, what do you talk about amongst yourselves?
Film, literature. I mean, friends and the qualities that we don't like in them. We like to talk about behind people's backs a lot.
Tons of smack talking.
Smack talking. That's kind of our forte.
Yeah.
Each other. We talk smack about each other. Get two of us alone in a room together. It's all over.
Do you still have the same friends who loyally came to see you in the early days?
Yes. I feel I do. Absolutely.
We've tried to shuck them, but...
All three of them.
Thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on the new album, and thanks for the great acoustic versions today on the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll be right back on the World Cafe.